This morning, as we said, this beautiful Easter morning, folks, did anyone see that full moon last night? Did you see that about midnight? Golly, Bill, that was beautiful. I mean, beautiful. I just can't get it out of my head. It was absolutely gorgeous. So at a time when I was standing there in the window looking at it, and at a time when we think about Easter, on one hand, as being a time of darkness where Jesus was placed upon the cross. And then I looked at that full moon last night and I said, just think about how much light that thing had and how it was lighting up the sky around it. And that is totally Jesus, full of life, full of light. And he expects us to be as well. This morning we're going to be in Mark 16, 1 through 8, and most of the time we don't go to Mark, we'll go to another gospel. It's a little bit short, it ends a little bit abrupt, but I had told Brian earlier I believe that was where I wanted to be this morning, and so we're going to talk about it a little bit. Folks, we think about Easter in one hand as being the beginning of Holy Week, how hard that week was for Jesus. We think about how he suffered and how he, last Sunday, he came in as a hero and by Friday they would put him on a cross. And we think about how the darkness came and how the things that happened all week that week. And we would, first of all, if we stopped and we thought about it, we'd say it was a terrible week for Jesus. They killed him. But today we know he is alive. He has risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And we will be with him one day. And we will be alive just as he is. But as we look at Mark 16, we look at a couple of different things here. You know, I kind of see Mark 16 as in a little bit different way than maybe some people do. I kind of see it as starting off as kind of like a love story. And you think, well, Mike, it wasn't for them. It wasn't. But for us, it is, folks. We know the whole story. As Tammy's always saying, we know the backstory. We know what the backstory is, and it makes it a beautiful, beautiful love story. And it also gives us the hope that we need, the assurance that we need. And even though this short 8 verses is what we're going to be reading, there is a longer ending to Mark. It's always been kind of argued that did Mark write it or did someone else write it and put it in. But I like the first 8 verses. And then you can always read the rest of it if you'd like. But let's take a look at the first 8 verses this morning. It says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended. Now the Sabbath would have been Saturday, our Saturday. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Hear that? Including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died. And the women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, as we see this story this morning and we see that it was Saturday evening, the ending of the Sabbath, and we see that the ladies, It was the ladies. It wasn't the men, guys. It was the ladies that had went to buy spices and to prepare this these spices for his anointing of his body so that he would not be stinking and not have the things that would normally happen. And so they are going to get the spices on Saturday night, and they are ready to put them to work on Sunday morning. And folks, as we see this, why in the world would women, knowing what Jesus had been through, why would they even attempt this? They knew that there had been a great stone rolled in front of this tomb. They knew that there was Roman soldiers watching this tomb. And they knew that the circumstances was beyond them. Yet, they went that night, purchased the spices, because they loved Jesus. Their affection for Jesus was so great. Not really stopping and thinking about it, folks, but at that time, I'm sure the ladies really had not grasped. Anyone probably had really not grasped what had just taken place. They didn't realize that as they loved Jesus so much and they wanted to show their love and their devotion and respect and all of the things that they wanted to do for Jesus, they didn't realize that Jesus had just showed them the greatest love that had ever happened. He died upon that cross for their sins. And they did not realize that what Jesus had been teaching and saying, that I will die, I will be placed and on the cross, and I will die, and on the third day I will rise. And the disciples didn't understand it. They didn't hear it either. And so we see that this love story, as I look at it, I see such love and affection for Jesus that they wanted to do everything they could for him, even after his death. So many times, folks, we lose loved ones. And as we lose loved ones, we continue for years and years to place flowers on the grave of our loved ones. Me and Tammy done that last Saturday. We placed flowers on the grave of loved ones. That's because we love these people. We want to show affection and we want to show respect to them. This is what the ladies were doing. They were preparing maybe not to bring flowers, but to bring spices and things for the body. But yet we continue to see in the story as we watch that when they start, they're walking on this path to the grave, knowing this great big stone is in front of it. How in the world are these women going to move this stone? You ever think that they were probably having this conversation? Probably if me and Brian had been walking to the grave, we'd have had this conversation. How are we going to move a stone, Brian? We'll have to get some kind of lever to leverage something to leverage it with. To move it, we'll have to do something. Even with us men, we would have to figure out some kind of way. And so did they turn around and go back home and say, maybe we need to go get our husband, or maybe we need to go get our son or something to help us move this stone? No. They continued on the path, folks. They continued to the tomb, not knowing how they would get past the soldiers, not knowing how they would remove that stone. But what happened? God was there before them. God went before them. You know, I don't know how much y'all pay attention to what goes on in the week, throughout the week. But throughout the week, I see lots of things that I wonder, how in the world is this going to happen? How in the world are we going to make this happen? How in the world what can I do to make this happen? What can I do? You hearing this? What can I do to make this happen? And when I get there and when I begin to see what's the need is, I find that God has gone before me. He's taken care of that need. Or he's allowed me some kind of way to take care of that need. He met these ladies. He was there before they were. He met that need and rolled that stone away. The guards weren't there, but the angel was. That angel was there. And the angel said, if you're looking for Jesus, he's not here. He's not here. It was shocking. They were astonished. They were scared to death. Well, yeah, we would have been too if we'd have walked into the tomb and there was an angel sitting there and they said, are you looking for Jesus? Well, yeah, that sure I am. Well, he's not here. Really? You know, where in the world? What's happened? But he says in the scripture, he says, you be sure. He said, don't be alarmed first. Don't be alarmed that you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified, but he isn't here anymore. He is risen from the dead. And they said, look where his body had laid. Now he says, go and tell the disciples, including Peter. Now we stop right there and we think about what he's actually saying to these ladies. Now you go back and tell the disciples that he is risen. And that he will meet them in Galilee. That's what he's telling her. Now I'm sure these ladies are like, wow, he's meeting them in Galilee, and he's risen from the dead, and you know he probably said something about this, and we wasn't really paying attention. We was like we said last Sunday, we was playing around. We was, you know, doing this, we're doing that. We're not really catching what Jesus is saying. That's every Sunday, isn't it? I miss so much every Sunday, folks, because I'm not really as engaged in the Scripture or I'm not really reading it in the right way. And I miss things. I think we all do. Because you can go back next week and read the same Scripture, you'll see something different, won't you? It's just as interesting next week as Andy Griffith is when you watch him over and over and over. It's the same thing. It's just every time you watch it, you see something different. And I love it. And I love, that's what we see about the, Brian said, you're crazy, dude. I'm not watching Andy Griffith over and over and over. But that's what I love. I love to watch it. And I love to watch Gunsmoke and all that stuff, you know. Seen them all 100 times. But this is what's so wonderful about the Scriptures. It's a new day. It's a new light shining upon that Scripture every time you read it. And so we see that the ladies go back to the disciples. And they said, tell Peter. Peter was the one that had said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I'll go with you to the cross. I don't care if they kill me. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not going to give up. I'm going with you, and I will keep them from doing anything to you. And we know that he cut the ear off of the soldier, and Jesus healed that ear right there immediately. And what do you think those soldiers must have felt like when he healed that man's ear? We're really arresting this guy because he is the true God. We are beginning to see this. He is the true God. And so we see that Peter, that night, we know that Peter denied him three times. And just as Jesus told him that he would, he did. Can you imagine how Jesus felt that next day? I know how Peter felt. I've denied him. I've denied him before. And I feel like this tall. I feel like I could not belly crawl and get down low enough to get what I really deserve. You feel like a snake. You feel so low. But what did Jesus say? This love story that we're talking about, what did Jesus say? Be sure and tell Peter also. Peter also. Peter was a pretty rough old dude. But God loved him. God had a plan for Peter. He wanted Peter to take in Acts, you see what Peter done? He went out and began the church. We know what happened through Peter. He had a plan for Peter. And if Peter had probably listened to Peter, like Mike listens to Mike a lot of times, he might not have done what God had planned for him to do. But he's told them to be sure and tell Peter also to be there. I will meet you in Galilee. And again, folks, so many times, just as we are today, We're no different than Peter. We're no different than the disciples. What did the disciples do? They went home. They locked themselves in a room. Maybe it wasn't home, but it was in a room in Jerusalem. It wasn't in Galilee. They didn't go to Galilee. They went and locked themselves up. But what did Jesus do? He went and appeared to them at the room. He appeared to the disciples in Jerusalem first and then in Galilee. And when he appeared to them in Galilee, we know that as he appeared to them at Galilee, he restated the commission. He restarted Peter. He gave his redemption to Peter. He set Peter up for the mission that he had for him. For everything that was ahead of Peter, he had taken care of everything. And he asked Peter, you know, three times. He asked Peter, would you feed my lambs? Will you feed my sheep? Peter said yes. And we know the story as it goes on into Acts as we see this. But folks, we see that it tells us in the scripture that the women fled from the tomb, trembling, bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. So where in this story do we see ourselves? I can only see Mike. I can't see you. I don't know you. I don't know your inside. I don't know your relationship with the Lord. I'd like to say I do. Maybe I think I do, but I really don't know your relationship to the Lord. Are we one that hears the message on Sunday, just like the angel told the ladies, and they left the tomb trembling, and they said nothing to no one? So many times, folks, we say nothing to no one about Jesus, the risen Christ. We say nothing. We don't tell anyone about what he has in store for us, about our salvation that he has prepared and provided for by dying upon that cross. We are quiet. We're just like a church house mouse. We're just quiet. And the only thing that's going to get you to say anything is if that church house mouse jumps up in your lap, and then you'll know where he's at. But that's the only way, folks. We have to be frightened into saying something. We have to make sure that this is really what God wants me to say. I don't think so. So I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not got anything into this. I'm just going to be quiet. But folks, so many times God is asking us not to be quiet. So many times God is trying to go before us. He's trying to make us His servant. And yet we find ourselves taking a detour. We decide in our own mind that he can't be asking us to do that. He can't be, because I'm not qualified to do that. I'm not capable of doing that. I can't be doing what I'm asked to do. Well, folks, I could not stand here today if I was qualified, or if I'd had just said, Lord, I can't do that. I just can't do that. There's no way that I would be here. But he went before me. He went before me. And you see, as we go back and we kind of look at the beginning there about the ladies, when they were going on down the path, the soldiers and the stone was in their mind. Two great big obstacles that was in their mind. And they continued on the road to Christ. Folks, that's us today, this Easter. We are serving a risen Savior. He is real. He is alive. We know that for a fact, that he is alive. And yet, we hesitate to go on. Go on. Let him go ahead of us. To go on down the path. We hesitate to tell anyone. We hesitate to be the messenger that he's called us to be. Folks, what if Peter hadn't showed up at Galilee? What if Peter just said, look, guys, I've messed up. I really messed up. I just can't go. There's no way I can go and face Jesus. There's no way I can be a part of y'all anymore. This is the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. You ever felt like that? Sure, I have. It's the most embarrassed I've ever been sometimes when you do things against Christ. But you are called to go forward, not to detour, not to sit down on the way and not get back up, but to go forward, and Jesus will be there ahead of you. He will always be there ahead of you, just as he was for the ladies when they got to the tomb. God had been there. Jesus had risen from the dead, and he was waiting to meet them. And he, instead of them going to Galilee like the angel said, they went and locked themselves up in a room. And Jesus had to go and show himself to them. And then they met him at Galilee. And what did he do? He fixed breakfast for them on the sea. That's one of my favorite scriptures. He fixed breakfast for them on the sea. Golly, Bill, Tommy said he had some eggs and bacon, probably, maybe. I don't know. I doubt it. He had some fish, though. And them fish, they was the committed one, that's for sure. But can you imagine him meeting them on the sea with breakfast? And Peter, he was there. He was there. So you think about this story, and you think about the love. The love, instead of it being a story of sadness throughout the week, you think about the love that was shown for each and every one of us. He didn't attach just one or two names to it. He didn't attach just the Jews to it, or just the Gentiles. He attached everybody that believes in me. Everybody that believes in me will be saved. Folks, that's the most awesome story that's ever been. It's one of the best stories in the whole Bible. It may be the best story in the whole Bible, because it is what we live for. He, as we read in the pouring of the water, there is no sting to death anymore. He took that sting away. He conquered death. And we don't have anything to fear, nothing to fear, because Jesus went before us. You think about that. How much he loved you, and how that we desire to serve him back. But it starts, folks, with a relationship, and it starts with that relationship, and you growing that relationship, and your desire to be on the path to go to the tomb, and your desire to be more intimate with him. It grows, and it grows, and it grows, until one day we will leave this world. And when we leave this world, we know what's awaiting us. Isn't that awesome? Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.